Welcome to another episode of the Granite List Live. I'm your host, Sally Pace, and for the next few weeks, we're bringing you a series of selected interviews drawn from our recent webinar series. These topics come from the most searched terms on the Granite List website, and I'm certain it will benefit you the same way it did our webinar audience. Our team created the Granite List because we saw a need for a way to help benefits leaders search and source solutions. And today, the site that we built has grown to be one of the most trusted resources for benefits leaders as they search and source solutions. And it also allows us to see what topics people care about. And so throughout the end of last year and the start of this year, we've noticed an uptick in a couple of really important and relevant topics, one of which we're about to dive into and explore: the world of fertility and how that relates to an employer's benefits plan. Let me introduce you to Dr. David Adamson. He is the founder and CEO of ARC Fertility, which is the largest network of fertility solutions in the United States. ARC Fertility provides innovative, high-value, family-forming benefits to employers nationally. Dr. Adamson is no doubt passionate about increasing access to quality fertility care through cost-effective, evidence-based, and you'll appreciate that the more you get to know him, evidence-based management. Dr. Adamson is a reproductive endocrinologist and surgeon with clinical professorships at Stanford University and UCSF. He's a past president of a number of organizations, including the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, ASRM, and the Society for Assisted Reproductive Technology, SART. He is chair of the NGO with the World Health Organization, that tiny, tiny global operation that publishes results annually. He's a member of many prestigious professional societies and has been a board member and advisor to government, industry, professional, and patient organizations. And if one would not be surprised at all that you've got over 300 peer-reviewed publications and has been recognized as one of the best 400 physicians for women in America. I think some of the others are part of the ARC network, of course, and you've received multiple awards for your contributions to women's health. So as I said in the beginning, this is a highly sought after topic on our site, and we could think of no better person to address it than Dr. David Adamson. Dr. A, the floor is yours.
Thanks so much, Sally. It's so great to be here. I really appreciate your kind introduction. I am very passionate about this topic, and so I'll get the slides up right away. We're here today to talk about how we can identify high-value family-forming benefits, and I'm going to stop along the way and ask if people have questions, and certainly please put your questions in the chat, and I'm sure Sally will get them to me. So, you know, one of the first questions we have is, you know, why do these benefits even matter? Why should we care? And the answer is that infertility is actually a very, very common problem that directly affects productivity and engagement of your employees. One out of six couples have infertility at some point in their life. And of course, many in the singles and LGBT plus communities need to have fertility care in order to have a family. And so family-forming benefits are important because they can really improve the health care and in particular the emotional health on this challenging journey for your employees, improve their engagement in the company. And not just that individual gets helped when you have family-forming benefits, but it really addresses a lot of the issues around DEIB, social determinants of health, and culture, because everyone, of course, is interested in family and affected by family. And so when you have these benefits, you help individuals, but you also really help the company. And of course, this assists productivity with talent retention and recruitment. So we found just in the last few years that there's a lot of reasons that employers are offering these benefits. Surveys that have been done show that 70% of millennials would change jobs for fertility benefits. 61% have increased loyalty. Many benefits leaders think it's going to be discriminatory not to offer these benefits by next year. And what's really important is there's been a perspective that family-forming benefits are really costly. And this is actually not true, and we're going to show why that's so. People who put them in have not found there's been a big increase in the cost of their benefits. And there's many other reasons that employers are offering these benefits. Increases access to quality care, which obviously employers satisfies employee requests. And as mentioned, really importantly, attracts and retains talent. Good people are always hard to find and to keep. And so this helps with that. Creates a family-friendly culture, supports DEI across the board. We'll discuss that some more. And importantly, a good program will help mitigate the risk of twin pregnancies and those costs. And of course, it's good for public relations. So if we talk about innovation in family health and how do we bring in these types of benefits, you want to know, okay, so a lot of people are affected by this and it's a good idea. How do we go about doing it? Well, obviously, everyone these days is talking about value. And value, as we know, is defined as the quality divided by the cost. But it's also important to be flexible because every employer is different, has different kinds of needs. And so it's really important to look at a program that not only gets great medical outcomes, if you don't get good medical outcomes, it's going to be expensive, but you also have to have a good employee and employer experience with a benefit. You have to keep the cost down, not just the total cost. Of course, the total cost is the most important, but you also need to look at the proportion of cost between the employee and the employer so that you can make sure access is there. And again, the flexibility matters because you want to be inclusive for all the employees that you have and comprehensive for everything they need. But because every employer is different with different mix of employees, you want to be able to choose optional services that work for you or don't work for you. You can leave them out. And you want to be able to implement this really easily. So I'd just like to stop for a moment and ask if anyone has any questions so far about the need for this type of services or sort of the really important metrics on quality, cost, and flexibility.
Question that has come through is, what in your opinion is the biggest misconception about fertility benefits?
I think the biggest misconception over time has been the cost. People think it just costs too much. And the reason they've thought that, of course, is that when you didn't have a program and you got a higher proportion of multiple births, there was a lot of cost associated with high-risk pregnancy and with the NICU cost that came with twins. And though the perception was that if you had fertility benefits, you ended up with twins and had to pay for that. The reality of it is, we'll go in a little bit later, when you have a fertility program, you reduce your risk of multiples because you manage the quality of care that you get. And so the cost, I think, is absolutely the number one issue. And the fact that people don't realize you can put it in a reasonable cost and also the savings from avoiding, adverse outcomes more than makes up for the cost of the benefit.
For employers, what is the most overlooked aspect of infertility?
I think what is really overlooked by a lot of people is how many people are affected. This has been one of those conditions, diseases, sort of like, HIV was, and breast cancer and emotional health, that was sort of hidden away. People didn't talk about it. But recent World Health Organization study showed 1 out of 6 people has infertility at some point in their lifetime. So that's, over 15%. And then if you add in single people that are now trying to plan their families, and those in the LGBTQ+ community who, very commonly need some type of assistance to have a family, you're talking about a very, very large proportion of your population, 20 or 25%. So I think one of the overlooked things is how many people can be affected by this. And even if that one employee is not affected, then they're still going to be interested in what their coworker or their sister or their brother is experiencing. And so the benefit addresses a lot of people in the company, not just those who might actually have to, receive medical care. And I think the other aspect that's overlooked is not only is this a very common problem, but there's a very high burden. The anxiety and depression and anger and shame that come with infertility that occurs with many, many people is really a profound life-altering experience. It's a very significant, life crisis when it happens. So I think the number of people affected and the burden that's on people is not always been appreciated. And of course, it goes without saying, but it's true. We now realize that people are having these issues in their personal lives. We know that that's going to flow over into their engagement and productivity and how well they can be a good employee and team member in their company. So I think this is what's overlooked about how important and how common and the impact on employers. Great. Well, we'll move on now. Let's talk about these three attributes of quality, cost, and flexibility. So ARC Fertility was founded in 1997, and Sally's already pointed out very kindly a lot of experience that that I've had as a clinician seeing patients for over 30 years. And I've been very lucky because through these experiences, in particular with many leaders in the healthcare field in fertility care in the U.S. and globally for screening and testing of patients and of embryos, our surrogacy and adoption, egg and sperm donor, all the companies we work with are vetted. And so by vetting these companies, we can really bring high quality to the employer. In addition to having top quality doctors and partners, all of our care is provided in evidence-based, individualized packages. So we have created for over a quarter century, thousands of packages, dozens with each of our over 90 clinics. And each of these packages addresses specific aspects of care that could be needed by any patient. And then we take this care from the doctors and we envelop it with a very sophisticated digital platform, which I'll go over in a minute, because that's where everybody comes into care these days. And that then is seamlessly integrated with one-on-one, real person concierge navigation, because the healthcare system's so complex. And by having this evidence-based information, one-on-one navigation to top quality care, we get better outcomes, superior outcomes for the employees. And this has been validated by the Validation Institute. We have 20% or more lower twin rates in the ARC clinics all across the country, the non-ARC clinics. And we've been the winner in this fertility sector for the last several years now. So we really can bring high quality. And how we actually deliver this to each employee is by primarily our one-on-one navigation, which is very important. And in the next slide, we'll talk about how people get to us to the one-on-one navigation through the digital program. But people come into us from using the digital program, our Fertility Now app, or by phone or text or email or setting up an appointment. They speak to a navigator, find out about their plan, get referred to the clinic and other resources they need. Everything gets authorized, make sure everybody's the employees are eligible. They then have a consultation with their doctor. The doctor and the patient determine the healthcare. ARC does not determine healthcare. But what we know is we have good doctors who are only going to pick evidence-based care packages off the shelf to use. And when they determine that care program, that's all transmitted to ARC. We put all those different packages together with the employee. And then once that's all ready and we've achieved the money that's needed from the employer subsidy, that they send us a subsidy, and potentially additional funds from the employee or from lenders, we get the money together, the services together, then the employee starts their care. This is all monitored by our concierge care navigators as they go through care, and also by our clinic partnership team led by a woman with over 30 years experience in working in IVF clinics. And so we make sure the employee experience is what we all want it to be. And throughout, of course, we provide a lot of emotional support through our digital program, our one-on-one navigation in our clinics. And also nationally, we have a couple of hundred certified fertility counselors that we can send people to. So it's hand-holding with excellent information from beginning to end. Now, in terms of how people learn about this, we all know that 70% of incoming information a day is through mobile apps. And so we have a very robust Fertility Now app. When an employer signs up with the program, we, of course, have all sorts of information that we will share with all the employees and the members. And the Fertility Now app is very easy to access. It has general frequently asked questions. This is important so people can understand the reproductive health plan for what they want to do in the future, prevent medical care as necessary, inclusive sections for men, for women, those starting care want to get pregnant on their own, those going into care, also for those LGBTQ plus community, and then, of course, a lot about emotional health. Comprehensive questions are answered. Based on the answers, each employee gets personalized content that's evidence-based. They also have interaction with prognostic tools about what's the cost, how long is it going to take, et cetera, and very robust emotional support questionnaires so people can understand the journey, appreciate where they're at, have self-help exercises for themselves, but also access to lay support and also professional support as needed, and throughout, of course, benefits information. And so all this comes on the Fertility Now app. So we get a great experience for the employee through the app and through the hand-holding in the concierge care. But what does quality mean for the employers? Well, it means a flexible end-to-end program and a great employee experience, because we know the employers want the employees to have a good experience. Also, though, we know the employers have to have an affordable program that fits their budget and that it's high value, easy to implement, manageable, and of course, promotes the company's goals, which are usually around DEI, SDOH, and of course, very importantly, talent, retention, and recruitment. So I just wondered if there's any questions at this point about quality aspects of a program.
Well, we have one that came in right as we were switching gears. One is, are there groups in the population that have additional challenges for infertility? So any plan population?
Yes, absolutely. And I haven't addressed it directly, but in addition to singles and LGBTQ+, the evidence is absolutely clear that those in marginalized communities, in particular BIPOC communities, have definite challenges in getting care. Some of this comes through lack of adequate information for them. It comes through geographic challenges in terms of not having clinics close to them. It comes from financial challenges. It also comes from sometimes cultural misperceptions about fertility care and also about concerns, their previous experiences with the healthcare system, because they can't trust the system. So absolutely, yes, it's very important. And our program is sensitive to that. And our employees are trained on that to try to help people to address those concerns, recognize them, address them, and get them to the types of providers who can help them overcome those challenges. Okay, so we'll move on to cost, which is obviously so important. So how can employers afford the cost? Well, you have to get the cost down as much as possible. And in fact, you can do that. And the ways to do that is to make it very easy to implement, so the employer doesn't have to spend a lot of bandwidth on it. Our bundled treatment packages make sure that we have only evidence-based care in it, everything that's needed, all the services needed, but not too many good services, and certainly not wasteful services. And this is how we cut the cost down in our packages, which we innovated back in the 1990s. We have discounted pricing from our doctors. We pay them fairly, because you can't get good doctors without fair pricing, but we do get a discount. The treatment plans are designed to reduce the number of multiples by promoting single embryo transfer. We eliminate miscoding where fertility services are provided in the general medical plan, but coded as something else so that the employer doesn't even know they're paying for it. And we have a very innovative payment model we'll show in a second, and we're very transparent about our pricing. So how our pricing works is that we have a very, very low access fee. So an employer could put on our program for literally pennies a month, less than way under a dollar a month. We charge one fee of $5 for an entire year for an employee, gives unlimited access to the digital program and the one-on-one concierge navigation, unlimited for $5 a year an employee. So it's very, very low number. There's no per employee per month after, per member after that. So there's no payment unless an employee actually uses medical care. And then the employer chooses how much they want to pay. The minimum subsidy is $5,000 over the year if the employee uses that much, and only as much as they use. So they only pay that when it's used. And then, of course, we will give a lot of reporting around this, and we do have guarantees around our fees. And as a result of this, we get significant cost savings of at least 15% over anybody else, and 40 to 50% over many of the BUCA plans. So this slide looks a little complex, but I'm going to try to make it very simple. We just look across the bottom The first graph is the no benefit and what's the cost to an employer with no benefit. An employer with no fertility benefit might think they're not paying anything, but it's not true. And we're happy to share data on all these numbers. Through getting miscoding and excess twin births, the employer is going to spend about $74 a year, even if they don't have a benefit, but they won't know it and won't see it. If other vendors are used, even assuming that they can avoid the miscoding and excess twin births, which is not always true with other programs, they don't have the advantages of the ARC package design, the single embryo transfer, and the pharmacy savings that we get. And even if we assume that in the green bar, their benefit cost is the same as ARC, which it's usually not, it's about 25% more, the ARC program design will save about $77 a year, a member compared to others. Now, if we look at an ARC subsidy, as mentioned, the minimum is $5,000 for a member a year if it's used. If we have a $10,000 subsidy, you can see that it's just about a wash. It's about the same price to have the program because the savings will basically make up for the premium amount that's paid over the year. And a $20,000 subsidy, which would give everyone access to at least one cycle of IVF, the ARC price is under $20,000, all in drugs and everything else, compared to $27,000 nationally. A $20,000 subsidy gives great service for the employees and comes in at well under $200 a year, about $163 a year. Are there any questions anyone wants to ask about the pricing at this point?
Well, one that's come through the chat that I think is likely from an employer, they're asking, why is it important to even have our fertility benefit outside of our general medical plan?
Well, that's a great question. And the reason it's important to have it outside the plan is, first of all, that the cost in the general medical plan is usually going to be 40 to 50% higher. And we're happy to share hard data with the person asking, happy to get on a call and show them how the pricing works. But the general medical plan is going to be 40 to 50% more cost. That's number one. Number two, the general medical plan is not inclusive. And that's because the ACA, Obamacare, does not allow some of the services that are needed in family forming. For example, singles may not be covered for freezing because egg freezing because they don't have a diagnosed infertility. Those in the LGBTQ plus community often cannot be covered because of the rules covering the ACA. And certainly surrogacy services and adoption services are not covered. So in the general medical plan, you cannot be inclusive of all your employees and their family forming needs. And secondly, as just mentioned, the services are not comprehensive in the general medical plan because by law, they can't be comprehensive. So you can provide a much more affordable solution out of the plan. You can provide an inclusive and comprehensive program out of the plan. And on top of that, you'll get the value on investment from the concierge support and the evidence-based Fertility Now app that will bring soft savings and soft benefits in your culture and in patient decisions. So there are many benefits to having it outside of the BUCA plan.
Is it possible? Oh, it's two questions. Is it possible to get the payment structure in writing? And is the E in PEPM for eligible or enrolled lives?
Yes, so a great question. So absolutely, we are very happy to get it in writing. We'll have happy to have a conversation, happy to do an RFP with anyone and absolutely put it in writing. And the second one is that there's only three fees. The access fee is $5 per employee for a year, per employee. That's all for an entire year, but that will cover all members. So we paid by the employee covers all members. Secondly, the subsidy amount, which can be chosen as low as $5,000, the average is $20,000 or $25,000, some put in $50,000 or more. That is paid either per employee or per member based on what the employer chooses. So we can do it either way for the employer, whichever they want. And then we have a utilization fee that goes along with the subsidy amount. and we can discuss what that will be. And we are happy to talk about guarantees on that as well. But those are the only three fees: access, subsidy only when used, utilization only when used. And we're happy to have a conversation and put that in writing. So to finish up here, I know we have a couple of minutes, but employers want to support every path to parenthood. And this just shows that you have to have a very flexible program, which we do. Our thousands of packages can deal with any kind of care that's needed. It's all individualized for each patient. It's very innovative. Anything that's new is in the packages, but only after it's been validated to be cost effective and work. We don't put experimental or unproven add-ons into this. We can provide direct-to-consumer lending through unsecured lending. ARC does not carry the paper. If the employee does not have enough money from the subsidy amount, so the employer chooses subsidy amount, if there's still some more need, we will go to our multiple lenders to get the best possible financial support for your employee. We do all of that in the background. The employer has no involvement in that, and we can be very flexible in implementing. And just the journey can include everything, and we can do surrogacy adoption, pregnancy navigation, loss, early menopause, lactation, childcare, and a lot of emotional support. And so just to show in summary here that we cover everything from preconception with our app and pre-pregnancy genetics, male testing at home, treatment, home monitoring, everything through any type of fertility journey. Through our partners, we do pregnancy counseling, high-risk consultation, benefit plan navigation, adoption support, very strong adoption support services, and a return to work program that's optional and very, very affordable. For return to work assistance, leave benefits, lactation support, parental support, and we're able to provide menopause support as well. And so in summary, we think the important attributes of a program for high value is quality, as we've discussed, excellent doctors, evidence-based care with great experience for the employee and employer, lower cost through savings, and also through employer choice. And through not wasting money, and flexibility so everybody can be included for anything they need, and optional programs for pharmacy, pregnancy, return to work, and so that the employer can get the kind of program they want. So thank you very much. And I might have a minute here for another question or two if someone has one.
Someone has asked, can we revisit if there is really, really an ROI for an employer who implements these benefits?
Yes, we're happy to have a call, and we'll go over the evidence for all the statements we've made today. We're very evidence-based, and we're very happy to share the evidence and review that with anyone who's interested.
Perfect. All right. I think that concludes the presentation for today.
Thank
I appreciate you,
very much,
you answering questions on the way. That I think that helped our attendees for sure. And thank you all for joining us. You know, this is day one of a 3-day series of webinars, again, based on the most searched and most important topics to benefits leaders across the consulting and employer spectrum. So we hope you'll join us tomorrow. And we also hope, if you haven't already, that you will create a profile, use the Granite List, thegranitelist.com, where you can read even more about how wonderful ARC is and the things that they do to impact the employer space, as well as the thousands of other point solutions that are featured on the site. Thank you very much for joining.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Granite List Live. Access our entire library by visiting your favorite podcast venue or subscribe on our site. TheGraniteList.live.